sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all. Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, you look with compassion on this troubled world. Feed us with your grace and grant us the treasure that comes only from you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Save the rest for coffee hour. Save the rest for coffee hour, Evan.
Okay, the first reading is from the book of Amos. Alas, for those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. Alas, for those who lie on beds of ivory and lounge on their couches, and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 146 responsively. Alleluia, praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will
put your trust in rulers, in mortals in whom there is no help. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captives free.
The Lord
cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from 1 Timothy. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty, or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
It was almost invisible. The rich man in his house behind the gate hardly noticed him. That lump of clothing that tossed by the gate wasn't worth anything. The servants didn't notice either. Oh, they saw that homeless guy, but they were too busy to really notice. In fact, no one really saw him. Many people passed by. They would direct their gaze a little beyond, give a little bit wider berth, step a little quicker around so as not to come in contact with this unclean being. Well, you never know. Maybe he had some catchy disease. The law of Moses is very clear, warning us about coming in contact with the unclean. And their noses told them, too, that this was one that should be avoided. And so, he was invisible. His only companions were the dogs who licked his sores, the dogs that beat him to the table for the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Jesus didn't give us any backstory, so we don't know what happened that caused this man to be in such a miserable state. Maybe he drank too much, lost his job, then his home. Maybe he got sick and didn't have a proper health care. Maybe he was possessed by some other sort of demon. Or maybe he had just always been lost. No one really knows, but then again, no one really cares. Everyone just looked through him or past him. It was like he was invisible. But of all of the characters, in all of the parables that Jesus tells throughout the Gospels, this is the only person that Jesus gives a name to. Jesus calls this man in the story Lazarus. That's a Greek word, and it means God is my help. Lazarus. God is my help. And Lazarus, with his empty hands, is waiting at the gate. A second story. Almost every day, she sits in one of those hard plastic chairs in the waiting room, in the hospital emergency room. And if you took time to notice, you would see that both she and the waiting room had seen better days.
Most people who came in would choose a different section so that they didn't have to deal with her. But she doesn't really notice or care. Her barely audible songs and conversations are just for herself. The security guard there told me that he tries to ignore her too. But she doesn't really bother anyone, so he just lets her sit. And sometimes it's just quiet sighs that come from her worn-out body. But occasionally the fog lifts a little bit, and she says, "Where am I? Why don't I just go home? Why am I sitting here?" But most of the time, the blur of alcohol or drugs or memory loss and hunger keep her there. Most of the time, she's almost invisible. At the other end of the hospital, the administrators are struggling, working hard just to stay afloat. The board of directors is arguing and debating agenda item after agenda item. The marketing director wrestles with a new advertising campaign. The financial officers are poring over insurance claims and bills and new government policies. And the hospitals and libraries and public parks all over the city, Lazarus, with his empty hands, is waiting by the gate. One more story. He was an odd kid, the kind of child that never seems to fit in anywhere. He looked kind of different, odd, peculiar, awkward. He wasn't mean or stupid. He was just different. He's my cousin, Matt. He and his two siblings lived with me for about 4 months while the parents were in a different state in a cancer clinic. Matt had the most annoying laugh of any 10-year-old I've ever met in my life, and he found the most unusual things to be funny. Every morning was a fight, and I'm sorry to say, I have scars to prove it. Every morning was a fight to get him to go to school, to get him to put his shoes on, to get him to eat his breakfast, to get him to move one more step. He hated school, but more than school, he hated recess. Every day at noon, that recess killed him a little bit more. While the other fourth grade children eagerly ran out onto the field to be chosen for this team or that team to play whatever game, he knew that no captain would choose him. He just hung back. The other kids weren't openly cruel to him. They had playground monitors to make sure that there was no bullying going on. But truth be told, they actually didn't care enough to be paying any sort of attention to him. Matt was simply ignored. And in the complicated world of elementary school recess, being ignored is the deepest hurt of all. And every day at noon, on safe and clean playgrounds, Lazarus, with his empty hands, is waiting at the gate. At the end of their respective lives, the rich man's hands were full, and Lazarus had empty hands. The rich man was clinging to his wealth, his power, his prosperity, and he had need of nothing. He was self-sufficient in every sense of the word. His hands were full. But the poor man's hands were empty. Lazarus had no house, no money, no food, no fine clothing. He had need of everything, including the gifts that God would give. His hands were open wide, and he could receive. Maybe Jesus told this story about the great chasm between the rich and the poor, the visible and the invisible, to remind us that this dividing line is what God does not desire. Jesus reminding us to live with open hands, reminding us to see that everything, our lives, our skills, our food, our ability to earn a living, our shelter, our family, our friends, our faith, everything is a gift. And because it is all gift, the way we deal with Lazarus matters to God. The way we think about wealth and poverty matters to God. The way we handle material goods, the way we care for creation matters to God. The way we look, the way we see God's beloved people matters to God. Lazarus at the gate, the woman muttering to herself, the odd kid on the playground, the person sitting next to you right now, people who don't even know and never dream of coming into a church. These are the beloved people of God. And God knows everyone and every name. God knows every person and every need. Even those who seem invisible to the rest of the world, God knows, and God cares. God knows who we are and whose we are. The best thing about this parable is that it's not over. It's not ended. Well, it is for the rich man, and it is for Lazarus, but it's not for us, because we are the five brothers. Even though Father Abraham wouldn't let Lazarus come back and give us a warning, we heard the story from Jesus. And now we have this story as well as Moses and the prophets. And we have someone who has risen from the dead to convince us that this is true. Lazarus, with his empty hands, is waiting at the gate. Amen.